Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This guy's on the inside. Now, here's Green Bay football insider Ryan Wood on The Fan.
Brought to you by PNC Insurance. PNC Insurance, an independent insurance agency for all your home, auto, and commercial business needs. Visit them at pc-insurance.net.
From PackersNews.com, Green Bay Press Gazette, Ryan Wood, our insider here on The Fan, talking Packers football after they win again. Now 34-24 was the score. Now 4-1 alone at the top of the NFC North, thanks to the Chicago Bears not showing up in London, as well as the Detroit Lions sitting there on a bye week with a tie. And the Packers have those Detroit Lions coming up next week. Ryan, appreciate it, man. Good game yesterday for sure down in Big D.
You know, you want to know what's crazy? I know you just said this, but you want to know what's crazy?
What's crazy?
That Mickey Callaway got fired?
Huh?
The Packers are 4-1.
I know, it is crazy.
Who had that through five games? I sure didn't. I mean, I thought they'd be doing really good to be sitting 3-2 through five games. I thought they'd be doing okay to be sitting 2-3 through five games. 4-1. Mm-hmm. I never thought 4-1. So yeah, Packers off to a pretty good start.
And Ryan, the way that they've won some of these games, they've done it all in different ways. And yesterday, it was the Aaron Jones show as he ties a franchise record with 4 TDs on the ground in a game.
Yeah, so he's leading the league now with 8, 2 more than anyone else in the league. He had 8 last year, so he's got 8 in 5 games this year. He had 8 all last year. He had 12 in his career going into this season, so now he's got 20, obviously. I talked with Vince Sermons today, running backs coach, and just about where's that line? You know, where's that balance? Because if you give Aaron Jones the ball, this is what happens. But how much can you give him the ball? And right. He said that ideally he wants, you know, the ideal target window for Aaron Jones weekly is kind of 18 to 22.
Right,
but
Steve,
sometimes the game dictates that they go above that. So, they had to go up
below
to 26 yesterday. Very similar to Minnesota week 2, but when he does, you know, Ben Sermons told me when you give Aaron Jones the opportunities, he's a Pro Bowl running back. It's just a matter of getting the opportunity.
You know what? Here's what I'm saying, Steve. I'm going to let Steve ask this question. And being a former running back now, and what in certain games are different. When I played, I hate doing this, but after we played the Chicago Bears, there were just more people in the hot tub. Like, the game was just so much more physical than other games. And I think, to me, that's what should dictate on how well he feels after he plays a certain game or a certain team, or how many carries he gets or how many touches that he gets. Because I think it's the wear and tear that you're looking for. But I think from game to game, it'll be different depending on who you're playing.
I think they've done that a little bit. So his 2 prior games before Dallas – he had, 23 carries combined? But that's on a short week, right? So
right.
You split that in half. That's a short week. That's 23 carries for a week. He had 19 yesterday. And obviously that's going into a long week with Monday night coming up. So they extended him 19 carries, 26 touches. They extended him a little bit. You want to know, I'm curious what you have to say about this, Gary, but something else that Ben Sermons said that was interesting, and it reflected it. Aaron Jones has told me this before, too. He really likes running on turf,
He seems faster.
I don't hear that from players a lot. Did you like turf or grass?
Well, this stuff they got now, it's like grass.
It's amazing.
Yeah, this stuff is outstanding. That stuff down in Dallas, that's a fast track, and it's soft. I mean, yeah, all this new stuff. I mean, that AstroTurf will kill you, but this stuff they got right now is great. I mean, now, it feels like to me, The stuff they got up in Green Bay feels slick to me.
So I've never walked on the field at Lambeau Field.
Oh, you haven't?
Never been there.
Oh, we got to get you down there.
Never been on the field.
So it's a blend. I don't know if you know it. So it's a blend of what? Synthetic turf and grass.
And Kentucky bluegrass, yes. As they tell you during the Lambeau Field tour.
It's a blend. I don't know how they do that.
This is not the first time that Aaron Jones has gone off in Dallas.
No.
And we all talk about
he's from Texas, too, though.
Yeah, his home state. That's great. But, I mean, a lot of that, he likes that playing surface. He likes being on that field. It's very suited to his slashing type game, the cutbacks, the lateral cuts that he can do. It's a really good fit for him. So, I mean, I think that's certainly part of the consideration as well.
You know, Ryan, we talked all of last year about Aaron Jones this, Aaron Jones that. Why can't McCarthy figure it out and play Aaron Jones more and give him the ball? Then there was conversation of, well, Aaron Rodgers don't want to run the football. Aaron Rodgers audibling out of running plays. Aaron Rodgers wants to throw the ball 100 times. And then yesterday, you see the 4 rushing touchdowns by Aaron Jones, but it took Jamal Williams getting hurt and Davante Adams not playing in order to get to that situation. And I firmly believe in my heart of hearts there's no way that game ever happens yesterday had one or the other actually been healthy. He never gets that many opportunities. I'm going to ask you the same thing that we were talking about earlier. So he had, 26 total touches in the game, something like that. How many more times this year do you think he'll be in a game with 26 touches? My guess is zero.
I think it's impossible to predict. I'm not dodging the question. The reason it's impossible to predict is because I absolutely agree with you that the circumstances dictated the type of workload that he had yesterday, and we have no idea what the circumstances are going to be down the road. We have no idea how, can Davante Adams play against the Lions? It's feasible that he's going to be out again with that turf toe. We have no idea. So if Davante Adams misses a game, Aaron Jones is going to get the ball more. That's just the reality. If they don't need to, they're not going to. You know, another thing Ben Sermon said today when I was talking with him is they kind of go into a game wanting to limit him because they have the big picture in mind, but then the game dictates how much he's used. And so it is very much a week-to-week thing.
Steve's shaking his head.
30,000-foot view, they want to preserve him, but week-to-week, they are going to use him as much as they need to go out and win the ball game.
Go ahead, Steve.
It just drives me nuts.
What drives you nuts?
You just said it earlier in the interview that he's a Pro Bowl running back. If you give him the opportunities, he can be a Pro Bowl running back. I think everybody in this room realizes.
You don't want to get a Pro Bowl running back killed in October. Mike McCarthy did the same thing with Eddie Lacy. It would drive people crazy every
year. Correct.
And you know what happened? Every year, Eddie Lacy, before he ate himself out of the league, every year, Eddie Lacy was his very best in December and January, which if you're a contender, which the Green Bay Packers at 4-1 are, you need your best players at their best late in the season, not at the beginning of the season. The reality is that the Packers are 4-1. And Aaron Jones has only had 2 hard games.
That's right.
You like that ratio.
I we can disagree about this all we want. I don't really care. But all I'm telling you is if anybody's going to sit here and tell me that Jamal Williams getting half of the carries in a football game puts his team in a better position to win than Aaron Jones getting the touches in a football game, that's ridiculous.
But what he's saying is it gives them a better chance later in the year to win football games.
Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly. If you're in that position later in the year, and then you're going to tell Jamal Williams, I know you've been here all year for us, but now we're going to turn to Aaron Jones, and you're going to sit on the bench and watch, right?
Yes.
That's pretty much what
exactly
it's going to be.
What you do.
When that happens, let me know.
What happens all the
time? We'll see if it happens with Aaron Jones.
What happens?
When we get this to the snow and all that stuff, it's going to be, well, Jamal Williams is more of a inside runner, so we're going to run him now more in December because it's snow and mud and stuff, so Aaron's not going to play as much. That'll be the next excuse of why he won't get the ball as much. I'm telling you, it's always going to be something with this dude.
But here's the thing, Steve. You're right. That might could happen. But if you ask Jamal Williams who's number one and who's number two, he knows.
One would hope.
Yeah. So he knows. He knows what he is, and so that's why
at
you
the
won't.
Same time,
that's why you won't have
Jamal
a problem.
Jamal Williams does better.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And for a long time,
there's reasons for him to be on the field.
And Ryan Wood talking with us for Green Bay Press Gazette. And Ryan, the one thing that Aaron Jones has definitely improved on is being able to stay in for all 3 downs, being able to pass block a lot better, and being able to have more of a ratio with Jamal Williams, right?
And as a receiver. So the third down, I know he bobbled the catch, right? So it was kind of weird because watching it live from my view, which was 150 yards away because these new press boxes, like, the Dallas Cowboys stadium, that you're in the corner, so it's so far away. I watched it live. I couldn't tell that he bobbled it, but running the route, the third down when he was flexed out to the right and he ran that slant, it literally looked like a receiver. Like, that is something that Aaron Jones, that was the type of route that Aaron Jones has not been able to run in his first 2 years. He's not been able to run that route. Not when you flex him out to the slot and then you have him do the slant. And in that situation, the third down, he bobbled the catch. He held on to the ball, so he caught it. It wasn't clean. But the type of route, I mean, he has improved vastly as not just – I think there's been some improvement as a blocker, but certainly as a route runner from the running back position.
Yeah, Ryan, here's why I did you do a reset and give him his just due?
This is Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette and PackersNews.com.
Yeah, let's let people know this platinum young man when we have him on to give him his due. Here's why I was happy. Now, you know, the injuries. Now, you guys get the injury report just like some of the media outlets. But when you hear doubtful with King, you get worried, and he plays. But the one that really made me smile was Brian Bulaga. I want to take it further. Corey Linsley goes out. You would think Dallas line destroys Patrick. But Patrick can go to – I can go to 5 to 10 key blocks that he had that was remarkable. Can you please talk about the history of normally when these guys get hurt, the backers come in, they weren't any good.
Well, you know how people don't understand offensive line play? I don't think people have any idea just how good Brian Bulaga's been this year.
Hey, man,
I mean, you look at what he's been doing week in, week out. Mac, Danielle Hunter. You've got Von Miller week mm-hmm. three.
Yep.
You got Brandon Graham week four. You got DeMarcus Lawrence yesterday. Like, each week he's going against a stud. Brian Bulaga hasn't allowed a sack all year. Not one
Amazing.
Sack all year against all these guys. Like, he's having maybe his best five-game start to his career. And I haven't talked to Brian Bulaga about that. I'm curious what he would think about that.
I think you're right on.
He's been incredible. He has been incredible. And for him to do that while playing through the shoulder, and we all know he's a tough guy. I mean, his toughness is probably unparalleled in that locker room now. But for him to play at such a high level and all the stuff he's playing through, it has been very impressive.
Did you think that this game plan would go the way, I mean, without Devontae Adams? Everybody's wondering, okay, how this is going to work out. It felt like to me, yeah, that was a game plan, but it just felt though Rodgers was actually reading coverages and hitting the guy that was open.
I'm not surprised that it was the game plan. I thought that it was always going to be a question of if Aaron Jones could hold up, because you just knew going in that they were going to ride him. I'll tell you the game plan that really did stun me was,
what?
And I don't want to hear, oh, the Cowboys fell behind so they had to throw the football. Duh. I'm not talking about when they're down 31-3.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about the fact that Jason Garrett did not come out thinking, we're going to just give the ball to
exactly.
Ezekiel Elliott 25-30 times.
Stupid.
Like from the very beginning, and I get that they were down 14-0 in late first quarter. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying from the very beginning,
mm-hmm.
go out there against this Packers defense that had allowed 523 rushing yards in the past three games. Give Zeke the ball every single time. Instead, what do they do from the very first drive when it's 0-0? From the very first drive, he's airing it out with Dak Prescott. That made zero sense to me whatsoever.
Well, and Kellen Moore, as their quarterback and friend there, he got that treated to him, and I think Jason Garrett is going to hear about that for quite some time down in Dallas. Ryan, as you look at the secondary here, we're going to get a look at what Darnell Savage's outlook for the next couple of weeks is going to look like a little bit later on in the season. Doesn't appear that it's a major injury there. But Jaire Alexander did get beat a couple of times. Is that just Amari Cooper being a tremendous player on the other side?
Amari Cooper's really good, but I also think that a little bit of that also is Jaire Alexander being a little overzealous. I mean, he's
there
a playmaker, he's a really good player.
Yep.
He's a young guy. He's got to figure out where that fine line is, because there's a fine line between being opportunistic and wanting to be a game changer, which he has the ability to do, but then not biting on something underneath and giving up a 46-yard reception down the sideline, which he did against Cooper. So
mm-hmm.
I think that's probably growing pains. I mean, it's something that young corners are going to go through. And the good thing is that we know that Jaire Alexander is really good and he's really talented. That shouldn't be a long-term issue. But you're right. I mean, he got burned by that against a really good receiver on the fast track, like we were talking about, that turf. He got burned by that, and it's a learning moment for him.
All right. Do we know anything more about the Green Bay Packers and how good they really are? Did any of those questions get answered against Dallas?
I'm glad you asked that, Gary.
Thank you.
To me, the game reminded me, the way the game went reminded me a lot of that divisional game where I think the Packers got up to a 21-3 lead back in January of 17, and the Cowboys fought back, and the Packers were able to hold on at the end type deal. But the situation, I mean, 2 years ago to the day tomorrow, the Packers left AT&T Stadium, where they still have never lost. And they had a 4-1 record in hand. They had an NFC North opponent the following week, going into week 6, Minnesota Vikings. And that was the week that Aaron Rodgers broke his collarbone. So 2 years later, they're in the same exact situation, 4-1, leaving AT&T Stadium. And they've got another NFC North opponent coming up week 6. To me, that 2017 team, going into week 6, compared to this team going into week 6 now, was a better team because offensively they'd already arrived. Rodgers was playing out of his mind. I mean, they won that game with the last second touchdown pass to Devontae Adams. McCarthy's offense was rolling. All those that team then was better than this team now. But to me, this team now has a much higher ceiling than that team did then for two reasons. Mm-hmm. One, obviously, it's got a defense. I mean, this defense is compared to that 2017 defense, it's not even close because there's actual game changers. There's playmakers on this defense, which is huge, not just in October, but it's really huge late in the season. For you to be able to have the playmakers on all levels that this Packers defense does, that's how you win games late in the year and in the playoffs. But two, like we haven't, like they're 4-1, and we haven't seen this offense put a full game together. We've seen glimpses in the pass game against Philly, and then the running game against Dallas. We've seen glimpses of it, but we haven't seen this offense actually put it all together. And they're 4-1, and they haven't had a complete game, which when you talk about what the ceiling could be for this team and the fact that the offense is clearly improving, I mean, their line is going up, I don't know where that stops. I don't know where the ceiling is, but it sure seems like the ceiling for this team is a lot higher than what it was for that 2017 team. And not just obviously because what we didn't know then was the broken collarbone, but to me the question between now, early October, and end of December is how much better can this team get? It sure seems like there's a lot of room for improvement, and the best part is that they haven't played their best and they're 4-1, which is only going to help later in the year.
Ryan, appreciate it, man. We'll talk on Wednesday. We'll have a little bit more firm ground. And Monday night football comes to Green Bay against the Detroit Lions next week. The 4-1 Green Bay Packers. Appreciate it, dude.
All right, take care.
That's Ryan Wood joining us from the Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com, here on the Wendy's Big Show. He joins us, as all our guests do, on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019, look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.